If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4 we're going to be looking at this evening. And I'm just going to pray first for God's blessing on His Word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that You would help us to have eyes to see wonderful things from out of Your Word and to hear, Lord God, what it is that You're saying to us. Lord, You have brought us into this place tonight, promising that You will speak to each of us. So give us ears to hear, please, what it is that You're saying to us, in Jesus' name. Last week, Dave began our new Sunday night series, Following God Ain't All Doom and Gloom. And we're sort of covering that a wee bit because, you know, like, you can't say Christianity's all like, you know, a cruise ship, you know, if just going to heaven, you know, that there's no troubles. Christianity has its troubles with it too. So what we're saying is that it's not all doom and gloom. Although when you look sometimes at Christian faces, you'd think it was. They don't know, you know, the faces forget to know what the joy of the Lord is about. They've got faces, as I said many times, like Lurgan Spades. But following God ain't all doom and gloom. And we're looking at some events in the life of Elisha, God's anointed prophet. And he was powerfully used by God. And he performed many wonderful miracles by this guy. But as Dave said last week, prophets weren't just called to bring God's word to the people, but they were often approached for guidance and for advice and for teaching. And the very presence of God's prophet and the message from God which they brought was often accompanied by dynamic events and miracles. However, they did these at a great cost to themselves, because many prophets, as we know when you read your Bible, many prophets were persecuted, they were hated, they were despised, they were rejected, and they were killed. But even in light of all of that, for God's prophets, following God ain't all doom and gloom. So let's read this evening from 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 8 through to 17. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room, and he lay down. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all of this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'Well then, what is it to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Actually, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is old.' So he said, 'Call her.' And when he called her, she stood in the doorway. Then Elisha said, 'About this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.' But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her." You got to remember that prophets regularly traveled around forth-telling. That's what a prophet does. They forth-tell God's word. They traveled around teaching the truths of God and giving guidance and advice. They were what you would call hands-on, hands-dirty servants of God. And here we find Elisha at Shunem. And Shunem is in the Jezreel Valley, which is just south of Mount Gilboa. It's a place still, in that sense, in Israel today. It's got a different name, but it's there today. And we're told that this notable woman, that means basically well-to-do, she wasn't stuck for her next pan loaf, but this well-to-do woman persuaded Elisha to eat at her home. Now, prophets often had to live in caves or in tents or wherever they could find shelter as they traveled around. And because Elisha frequently passed through Shunem, this devout, God-fearing woman asked her husband if they could actually, in our terms, put an extension on their house to make a room for Elisha, the man of God. I mean, this woman and her husband feared God, and she recognized Elisha as a holy man. She had the gift of hospitality, and she extended it to Elisha and his servant. And on one occasion, when Elisha stayed, he wanted to actually repay the woman's kindness, and obviously prompted by God to do this. He asked to the woman, "Do you want me to speak to the king?" Imagine being able to say, that's like me saying, "Do you want me to go and speak to Her Majesty on your behalf?" As if I would have that level of influence. Maybe Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. But I doubt very much, you know, Her Majesty would give me an audience. Or Noah Mylock would be turned out to be Faith Brown dressed up. But he said, "Do you want me to speak to the king? Or maybe would you like me to speak to the commander of the army on your behalf?" I mean, such was the measure of influence of this prophet of God. But you know what's beautiful here? And we Northern Ireland people, I was going to say we stupid Northern Ireland people, but that would be wrong. We Northern Ireland people miss this, because if we read it in what we read, we miss what is happening here. But I'm going to explain it to you. The woman's response to Elisha is wonderful. Because he said, "Do you want me to speak to the king? Do you want me to speak to the commander of the army?" And she says, "I dwell among my own people." What is that supposed to mean? I dwell among my own people. Well, in other words, what she's saying is this. You know what? I'm happy enough where I am and with what I have. That's what she's saying here. I dwell among my own people. I'm happy enough where I am and with what I have. And I suppose we could say then, for the Shunammite woman, following God wasn't all doom and gloom for her and her husband. They seemed happy with their lot. What about you? What about you tonight? Are you devoted to God? Do you fear Him and serve Him? Do you recognize and appreciate the gifts that God has given you, or the gifts that God has given to others? For example, would you build an annex? Would you build an extension on your house, or give a room up in your house for a servant of God? Are you happy with your lot in life? Happy enough with where you're at and with what you have? You see, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, he was able then to point out that the Shunammite woman and her elderly husband had no son. And so he called the woman to the doorway of Elisha's room, and Elisha pronounced, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." Imagine if you hadn't wanted any wains. Imagine if you didn't want wains, that you just actually thought they were horrible. And you know, I remember listening to a radio show one time. I've told this story before a whole lot of times too, but I was listening to a radio show one time about this guy who was working with children and whatever else, and he asked the DJ, "Do you like children yourself?" He says, "Well, I couldn't eat a whole one." And here is this woman being told, this time next year, you're going to have a son. What if she didn't want a son? But God knew better. "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And the woman said to Elisha, "Please, Lord, please, my Lord, don't be lying to me." Or if it was a Northern Ireland, she'd say, "You winding me up? Are you winding me up? This time next year, you shall embrace a son." And it came to pass. At the appointed time, she conceived and bore a son. I'm happy enough where I am and with what I have, the Shunammite woman said. But God knew. God knew there was a deep longing in her heart, one that she had even probably given up believing would ever happen, as she saw her old husband getting older. She had longed for a son and it hadn't happened. And yet, even though it hadn't happened, in her devotion and fear of God, she and her husband continued to serve the Lord in spite of that not being met, in spite of that deep longing not being satisfied. She still was devoted to and feared the Lord and served the Lord. You see, we shouldn't seek to serve God for what we can get from Him. But what we receive from Him through faith in Jesus should compel us to serve Him. I'll say it again. We shouldn't seek to serve God for what we can get from Him. But what we receive from Him through faith in Jesus should compel us to serve Him. I was saying to Rita at the start of the week, I have a deep, deep yearning in my heart. Now, it's none of your flame of business, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. But I have a deep, deep yearning in my heart and soul that I have no doubt only God can satisfy. Now, He hasn't met that need yet, and I've been walking with the Lord for 30-odd years. He hasn't met that need in me yet. But I press on, fearing God and seeking to serve Him, hoping that one day He might. And you know what? There are times when I feel like I've actually even given up hoping that God will answer. What about you tonight? Do you feel like there's something missing in your life? Have you a deep yearning that you haven't told anybody else about and you don't want to talk to anybody else about it? But have you a deep yearning, a longing for God or for someone to move in your life? Are there times when you think God doesn't see or doesn't know, or you think that He's not going to meet that need or is not able to meet that need, and so you give up hoping? Well, I think the Shunammite woman had her deep yearning, but I think she had looked at her elderly husband and had given up hope of it ever being fulfilled. Following God ain't all doom and gloom. Elisha himself knew his hardships and his trials as he traveled through the country teaching and proclaiming God's word. But he knew when it came to visiting Shunem, God had provided a place of warmth and welcome for him there. The Shunammite woman and her husband were blessed by God for their faithful perseverance, even when they had not yet received what they longed for. And God also blessed them for the kindnesses that they showed to Elisha and his servant Gehazi. In fact, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He speaks, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, they shall by no means lose their reward." What Jesus is saying is, when we reach out to people with the love of God, be it a believer or an unbeliever, because we don't know if that unbeliever is going to become a believer, when we reach out in the love of God to other people, the Lord sees and the Lord rewards. We reach out to and receive others in the name of the Lord, so the Lord says we receive Him and Him who sent Him. As we reach out to others in the name of Jesus, so the Lord says we are receiving Him and Him who sent Him. We may not be called to build an extension on our house. We may not even be called to offer up a spare room in our home. But if we lovingly, willingly give as little as a glass of water to someone who is thirsty, the Lord who sees will reward us. God knows the deep yearning in people's lives. He knows how often we feel like giving up hope of ever having that longing satisfied. But like the Shunammite woman and her husband, are we prepared to be faithful and persevere whether that longing is satisfied or not? Are we just loving and serving God for what we can get from Him? Or are we loving and serving Him because of what we have already received from Him? You see, following God ain't all doom and gloom. Yes, there will be times of doom and gloom. We're only human after all. As I said, we live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world. But for those who know the Lord and have experienced His love, we can testify that there is more to the Christian life than doom and gloom. I'd be honest with you, if the Christian life was all doom and gloom, I would say, to hell with this, I can't be bothered, I'm away to do other things. Who wouldn't? If it was all doom and gloom, who would say, I wouldn't be bothered about life? The problem is, as I keep saying, we Christians forget to tell our faces that it's good news. It's good news, and we should be smiling about that. I'm not talking about running about with a charismatic smile around our faces 24 hours a day. We have our difficulties in life, but we have a deep joy. We have such peace in our lives. We know that no matter what happens to us in this world, we are going to be with the Lord one day, and that is when every need from the very depths of our souls will be completely satisfied for all eternity. The Christian life isn't all about doom and gloom. Yeah, there's days when there's doom and gloom. I've had a week of doom and gloom. But through it all, the light was shining and God's grace was there. So Christian, Elisha was a hands-on, hands-dirty sort of guy, a holy man who served the Lord. Sometimes he had plenty. Sometimes he did without. But nonetheless, he served God faithfully. Will you? Will you determine to serve God in both the good and difficult times? Even when the deep longing of your heart, and no one else knows it, and you think even God doesn't know it when He does. Will you determine to serve God even when the deep longing of your heart seems like it's never going to be satisfied? God sees and God rewards our faithfulness in His time. Maybe tonight you're here or you're listening to the podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me tell you, God is a good God. He is loving and merciful. He is gracious and compassionate. It's not all doom and gloom following and serving Him. There is forgiveness with you. There's forgiveness for you with God. If you will simply humble yourself and approach Him by faith in Jesus, and you too can have everlasting life. Now, what's doom and gloom about that? If Tesco's was giving out free TVs tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning, there'd be queues right up that ring road. And we say to you tonight, God's given out everlasting life. I'd rather sit in the house and watch whatever's on TV. No interest. But it's true. God is gracious and compassionate, merciful, loving. There is forgiveness with God for anyone who will humble themselves and come to Him through Jesus. They will receive it and have everlasting life. You see, God sees and God rewards. But I have to also say, according to God's word, He sees people's continued rejection of Him and His love. And if people persist in their ways, rejecting God and all that God offers, well, then God is left with no alternative
but to reject you for all eternity if you die in your sin. God loves you and is declaring to you there is another way to live. His way. Your way leads to death and destruction. His way leads to life. Choose whose way is the right way. But listen, following God ain't all doom and gloom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to thank you tonight for this wonderful and beautiful story of this Shunammite woman, Lord, who was just happy to get on with doing what she was doing, serving you, even though the deep longing of her heart hadn't been satisfied. But you saw, Lord God, and you knew that deep longing. And you sent Elisha, Lord God, to tell her she would have a child. And it came to pass. And Lord, tonight there may be people in this place, there may be people listening to the podcast who have deep, deep longings in their hearts that nobody knows anything about, but you know. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would draw near to them and that you, Lord God, would let your peace flood their hearts and souls and that you, Lord God, would show them that you see and you reward those who in faith come to you, Lord God, through Jesus. Father, we ask that you would help us not to serve you for what we can get from you, but because of what we have received from you, to serve you more faithfully and more obediently and more lovingly. You are a gracious and a merciful God, and thank you that there is forgiveness with you. May every Christian, Lord God, determine in their heart to continue to serve you. Whether our needs, Lord God, are met, whether our longings are satisfied or not, to keep on pressing on in you, because you see and you reward. And may any unbeliever tonight, any person who's not a Christian, who wants to know more of your love, who wants to experience your amazing grace, may your Spirit, Lord God, draw them to you through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. We're going to stand to sing our last song.